The next question was presented by Dr. Mac Roach, which was a pair of 54-year-old twins. One of the brothers had clinical stage T3A, which is extracapsular extension, Gleason score 4 plus 4, 8, 5 of 12 course positive, and PSA of 24. He was healthy, sexually active, and he chose radiation therapy as his local therapy approach. Then there were a series of choices given as to how one would best manage this patient. And the choice that was taken by more than half the respondents was neoadjuvant hormonal therapy, external beam radiation, and adjuvant hormonal therapy, which is essentially what RTOG studies have shown to be appropriate combined modality therapy in this gentleman. And because he's T3, one would use 2 years of additional hormonal therapy in addition to the 4 months up front. One could also extrapolate from the European study to simply use 3 years of concurrent and then adjuvant radiation. And as I mentioned before, this is the exact kind of patient that's being studied by the Europeans in that 2,000 patient study of 3 years versus 6 months. But the standard of care today is what most of the audience responded, and that is long-term hormones in the neoadjuvant and adjuvant setting, concurrent setting with external beam.
How would you approach specifically the use of antiandrogens in this kind of situation?
When I use short-term hormonal therapy, which is 6 months, I use combined hormonal therapy. Anything beyond that duration, I use an LHRH agonist alone. So for the first 4 to 6 months, usually 6 months in my case, I use combined hormonal therapy, which would be an antiandrogen and an LHRH agonist.
It was interesting. 8% of the people answered antiandrogen monotherapy. And there was kind of an interesting discussion last night about the bicalutamide 150 story.
That's correct. The bottom line is that for men who elected watchful waiting and otherwise were localized, they got randomized to the immediate Casodex 150 versus watchful waiting. There was a higher overall death rate. However, careful studies have been done, at least to my knowledge, to look at the cause of death, and no single cause has been determined as of yet, as be it cardiovascular or other. It seems to be a mix, and they haven't been able to pinpoint one particular area. Nonetheless, it's still, I think, a wise thing if you see a significant increase in overall death from a drug to be cautious.
Because there's no specific cause of death, is it possible that this is sort of statistical noise?
Statistical noise is always possible, but it would have to be with a probability of less than 1 in 20 because the p-value is less than 0.05. So that's why we put our p-value at 0.05 to try to remove errors that are very uncommon.